Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
In case you all don't know, I get to be Pastor Joe's wife all the time. Not just sometime, all the time. We've been married a long time, haven't we, honey? And we've done this for a long time. I wouldn't trade it. I grew up Catholic. And when Pastor Joe said, let's do this, when the whole business did its thing, I said, absolutely. I love God and people. Rock and roll. It's been a beautiful and amazing journey. How many of y'all know of Sojourn Church out north? Yeah, we helped get Sojourn started with a group of friends and then brought a team down here to Dallas. And we it's been a great, great journey. So I'm going to introduce Melena Verrill. Yeah. And Laura Weir. We have been friends for a long, long time, about 30 years, and also members of Trinity Church. So I think you're going to be really, really blessed. Today we're continuing in the series from the book. We got a graphic we're going to put up behind us. But if we don't, I have the graphic here, but I think it's going to go up. But it's our Experiencing God graphic. I think this lets you know you can still purchase the book and follow along. We're only in the third chapter there. But with the graph, inside the book, it talks about, you know, God desiring so deeply a relationship with us. And how many were here last week and heard Pastor Robert's amazing message? It was so good. I was in Houston babysitting our grandkids. And I'm not kidding, he started, you know, he got choked up talking about his father and healing that relationship. And you're just the way that you talk about us to have a relationship with God. And they said, Fancy, something happened to your phone. So we got my phone and we realized, no, Pastor Robert just got choked up. The call didn't drop, you know. It was you, amazing you, we love you. So I asked the girls, well, get started. We're still girls, aren't we? Yes. We're in that category, yeah. So, you know, Melena, tell us about when you really knew that you could have a genuine and true relationship with God. What age were you? And tell a little bit about you for, you know, yourself first, sort of who are you for the people online and here that don't know you yet, and then just how God became so real to you in your life.
Well, I've been here for a good while, as most of you know. I think 26 years ago is probably when I had my first invitation to come to Trinity that I didn't really want to accept. I didn't know about Trinity, first of all. So my girlfriend and I were working out at the Crescent downtown. Most of you may know Christina. Her husband's a pastor out at Prestonwood Baptist now. And I remember after coming here for a while, everyone thought I was leaving with her, but why would I do that? God put me here, so I'm still here. But she kept on inviting me to come to Sapango on Wednesday night.
Sapango, over and over.
Yes. Sapango was a hot spot on Travis, and they had a private club. Yeah, it was a private club and a dinner club. So we would go on Saturday night and then go to church. We'd drag into church on Sunday mornings. But we were there, right, Pastor Joe? Yeah. But she kept on inviting me over and over every single Wednesday when I'd see her at 5:30. Church started at 6:30. Finally, one day I was like, okay, I'll go, but I can only stay an hour. So I had an in and out, right? Beginning and an end. And she's like, okay. I stayed there for service, got home at 10:30. Dan's like, where have you been? And there wasn't any cell phones around then. If you had a cell phone, it's because you paid a lot of money for them, and they were like boxes.
A box, right? You
yes,
put it in your
big
car.
Boxes. So I was like, I was at church. He goes, no, really, where have you been? I was at church. So I've been coming to Trinity ever since. What happened that night, I could not have explained to you guys if I had tried back then. I grew up Catholic, and that's all I had. It was a foundation still, but that's all I had. But that night, Pastor Joe had an altar call, and supposedly I raised my hand, but I don't remember. but everybody else around me remembered. And I beat myself up for that. I thought, I should remember something that important, but I didn't. I didn't, but I did remember the most important part. And that's when Pastor Joe came up to me afterwards. And every time I do this, I want to use your voice. And Dan, no, Dan keeps on telling me, he goes, you can't do that. Like, quit doing it. So he came up to me. And back then, Pastor Joe was a little different. I think he did this. He goes, Jesus said, Jesus Christ, Lord, save me. And just went on and on. And I was like,
not Pastor Joe.
Yes. But I do remember that. And that was life-changing for so many reasons. But it worked. It did work, and it stuck. But I'll never forget that night because I do remember all that. But I do remember, I couldn't tell you what it was because I didn't see it. I didn't hear it, but I felt it, and I felt it in my heart. And I knew I wanted to come back, and I came back. It's been, 27 years now since I've been with Trinity. But what I realized was that was the Holy Spirit prompting me, and I didn't know that for a while, but I recognize that now. So I know when I get that feeling, I know what it is.
One of the most beautiful things about Melena, and just one of the reasons why I asked her to come up here is just hearing her story when she really came to the Lord at that season in her life, God healing a deep pain of rejection in her life and her allowing God to heal her, deliver her, set her free. And then just the way she, I don't know, you were just such a beautiful daughter of the King. Like, this is how you love my church. This is how you love people. Her level of commitment. It's not that she at times hasn't had an opportunity to be offended, but she's chosen over and over again. I've known her almost 30 years. She's chosen to stay committed, to not be offended, to love the church family, and to be healed and whole. And it's just one of our invitations as you all join us here at Trinity. We're really serious about becoming healed and whole. I couldn't do what I do without God really helping me to be more secure. And so, and didn't your grandmother really kind of, even though it was... she kind of opened the door a little bit for you spiritually.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I grew up Catholic, but fortunately and unfortunately, we lived across the street from the Catholic Church. So the deal was that I had to go to church or I couldn't go out on the weekend. So I learned how to make deals very early on because of her. But I would go to church, and she would stand behind that screen door and watch till I went in, till I figured out how to hide behind the hedges. And my girlfriend would pick me up after she went in. But, you know, Laura made a good point that it did set a foundation for me. Like, there wasn't a time that I remember that I didn't believe that there was a God and there was something bigger taking care of me. And I remember when we were talking in there earlier that I remember my grandmother, when I was maybe 4 or 5, showing me how to do the sign of the cross right before bedtime. That's what we did every night. Every night.
Good. I think even if we all look back, even if it's a good experience or rough or whatever, you know, some, you know, God kind of got himself and his nature and just some things in there early. How about you, Laura? Let us know about your journey and your relationship with God.
Yeah, so I was like the weird one in my family. We were like, did not go to church, and I was always asking about God. And I got constantly asking questions about the world and how God related. My mom was like, I don't know. And my dad was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I would like ride my bicycle to youth group on Army base, you know, like little daisy basket in the front of it. I'd ride to youth group and learn funny little youth group songs. And then through college, I had a lot of friends who grew up in church, and I was constantly asking them questions about God, questions about salvation, and eventually got saved. My husband shared the gospel with me, and I got saved. And then the part that I struggled with, though I was saved, there was something about being in relationship with God that I did not understand. People always talked about this personal relationship, and I was it was elusive, and I really wanted to know, and I was good asking, but It wasn't until one, I suppose it was an Easter, because this is like a verse from Easter, but where in the Bible, three of the four Gospels, it says when Jesus died that the veil in the temple tore from top to bottom. And so God tore that thing down and opened up access to himself, so that we have total access to God. We don't need a priest, which I didn't think I needed one anyway, but just for me, the visual, I was like a light bulb went off. That veil opened up and I was like, oh my gosh. So like, I just know I could step in there and be in God's presence. And so that verse is really special to me. And it was just through just kind of, I look back kind of diligently pursuing knowing him, even though I didn't really know what it meant.
And I told Lori, first service, that no man could take that experience away from her. And knowing you, Laura, as long as I have, you really get a lot from worship, don't you? Like, we used to, you know, do the Zoom calls over the last couple of years, our small group, and we all couldn't wait for Laura to get on because she's just a treasure. And she'd say, well, I was just walking and, you know, thinking of this song and these verses. And she just had us in tears, because she's going to share in a little bit about planting a church for us in Croatia and God really speaking so deeply to her heart, which really set her on the course to go and, you know, do that so beautifully for the church. And I want to explain to you guys the graphic here behind us as you all are sharing. It's from the Vatican and the Sistine Chapel and Michelangelo's The Touch of God, and God touching Adam, God touching man, God touching us. And I think it was just perfect for, as we're going through the, you know, experiencing God is just bottom line. He wants a real relationship with each one of us. It's not going to look the exact same. That's a good thing. He sort of knows how to come to each one of us. Remember in Moses and the burning bush, and he just didn't feel qualified, and just, he couldn't see it, but God could see it for him. I would say, let go and let God just take our lives and take your life and trust him to start to invite you over and over to what he is doing. And you don't even have an idea what he could do through you. But I would say yes, because it's better than the plans that you'll make up for your own life. And a couple scriptures, and then we're going to get back to you girls, is again, we don't have a better plan for our life than God has. John 14:21 says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. That's a great scripture to put on a sticky note and put on your refrigerator. Deuteronomy 30 talks about choosing life and not death. So when God comes and not only has a relationship with us, but he starts to say, join me in what I'm doing. This is how I'd like to use you mightily for my kingdom. Say yes. Obey his voice. It will bring you life and the generations behind you, the Bible talks about as well. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Here are two things I want to say as well, and then we'll get back to you all. God already has his agenda for each one of us. And when he approaches us, God has a plan, and he's chosen us personally. His desire is to get us from where we are to the place where he's working. When God reveals to you where he's working, that becomes his invitation to join him, and the time is to respond right then. All right, girls, you ready for a few more questions? One way to hear God's invitation, Laura, is to have a pure heart. What does that look like?
Well, the scripture reference about Isaiah really struck me regarding having a pure heart, because I think who out there would really raise their hand and say, I have a pure heart? I mean, ask my husband, I do not. And
let's
none of us do. Let's ask Blake. No, don't ask Blake. Not today. Maybe another day. Don't ask Blake today. So, you know, we don't have a pure heart. And so then in the story with Isaiah, where he steps up when God calls him, and God says he'll go, and Isaiah's like, I will go. And it's such an inspiring thing. But you know, why you have to back up a few verses and see that the reason that he responded to that invitation is because prior to that, he had been in God's presence. He had been worshiping God, and God came to him and purified him. God cleaned him and made him able to hear God's voice. And so continually working on having a pure heart before God, you know, day by day or hour by hour, whatever it takes, but that's how you're going to really hear him a lot better. Not that you can't hear him, but you'll hear him more clearly, and you'll probably know how to respond if you're have come to him and just been cleaned in his presence. For us, the invitation, not sure how to, you know, had to eventually get a pure heart in order to accomplish this massive task, but it wasn't a subtle invitation. Pastor Joe said, you know, I want y'all to take a team to Croatia and consider staying. So it was an obvious invitation, and it was an honor, and something in me lit up. I wanted to do it so badly. But the whole process was, you know, like, I think sometimes Joe talks about getting your head ground off. Like, it was painful. It was hard. We had to get rid of a lot of things and realize that what God was calling us to was much more important than all the things in my house that I let go of, got rid of. And even just my broken heart, leaving this church family, leaving my school family, just, you know, it was very difficult. And you had to just every day stay in God's presence and get your mind pure, just going along with his call. And the song or verse and the song that just ministered to me so greatly during that time was in Psalm. The whole psalm is great, but better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And that I would rather be one day in the middle of God's will than thousands in the middle of my will, because my will's probably a mess and God's will is amazing. And so I don't regret going. And it was hard. It was hard coming back. But, it, you know, the invitation and the chance to respond, you know, can't ever take that back.
I think we sing songs on Sunday, and if we really heard, if we really thought of the words that we're singing and really took them to heart, I try to do that more and more, because we want to be, you know, abandoned to the Lord and all in. And I think some of these songs are so beautifully and well written. One of the beautiful things so much about Laura and her beautiful daughter Elliot is right there.
Hi,
back there in the back, her husband Blake. Is it Victoria? And Victoria is next to her. But another, so many reasons I love both of these gals is, is she 15 today or yesterday?
She was on the 4th.
Okay, you're almost 15, Elliot. Look at her. But anyway, I just admire her so much. God bless them and gave them a real invitation to raise Elliot, and just how beautifully she's loved the Lord, loved others, loved Elliot, and it wasn't exactly like you were sharing it. It's a lot more work, and, you know, it's probably, you know, got its days that are unique, and I just have loved the way that you've continued. Neither one of these girls, when they've gone through things, I think a marker for me is when people get mad at God or mad at people or just bitter. I think that really affects me. It's just, I don't want to be that way. So I want to be able to go through the things that I go through. God calls us when it's an invitation, y'all. Sometimes it's, I need you to forgive. I need you to heal. I need you to be secure. I need you to trust. I need you to love. And so it doesn't have to be so complicated. I think break it down into easy language for people when we say relationship with God, invitation, God calling us, and worship and praise, preaching. Sometimes just remember, we really do want to reach the world outside of here, and just sort of be mindful and say, Lord, help me. This invitation, this moment to be able to witness for you, to use language people can understand. We met neighbors last night, and she said, I can't wait to come to your church. And she said she really grew up with strict rules and regulations. So we were trying to explain to her, we pray and we are hopeful that, you know, even though we have worship here on Sundays and teaching, that there is a real freedom here, and you let the Lord love you and invite you into his ways. And in the next few weeks, we're going to go over this. Breath is so good because God starts speaking to us. And then some of the things he invites us into, it's a crisis of belief. And then we have to make adjustments, and then we obey, and we experience more and more of God. I think this is just continual. Okay, Milena, what's one life experience that has taught you the most about God?
Well, that's a tough one, because there's so many. Like I mentioned earlier, it seems like every decade there's been so much that's required a lot of prayer and a lot of God, you know? But, I mean, one of them in particular is the boys. So some of you may or may not know, but we're grandparents, and we were both grandparents around the same time of twins. The difference was with my daughter, she went through fertility issues like you wouldn't believe. She had 3 miscarriages, 3 failed IVFs. The fourth one was successful. My niece carried, and her placenta ruptured, thank goodness, in the hospital, and they almost released her, so we would have been telling a different story right now had they released her to go home. Ryder, the one that will walk up to you and go, I have a lot of energy, and he does. He had to be resuscitated several times, but they both turned 4 last month. So that being said, that was 5 years of a lot of the community here praying with me and for me and for my family. It took an army, and I'm being conservative when I say that. It was a lot. But what I want to share aside from that was coming on board with staff. I was saying earlier, never did I say I wanted to go work for a church. Not once. And Pastor Joe's nodding like he didn't either, right?
You get bugging you.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was working for a couple of Italian lines, luxury goods business, and traveling a lot, which was a lot of fun. I was traveling with some of my friends. Went to Italy. I was in Houston this time, staying with one of my girlfriends, and I woke up one morning in December, and I told her, I said, I don't feel like going to work. And she said, that's interesting because you love what you do. And I said, I think something's shifting. And mind you, I say that because I think when you start understanding or recognizing when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you recognize it pretty quick. I started paying attention to a lot of that, and I knew that's what was happening. So that was in December. In February, I was talking to a friend of mine, Sacco, and her husband was on staff here. He was a pastor here. And I could hear him in the background. She finally handed the phone to him. And he's like, how much money do you make? Do you make a lot of money? And I was like, well, it depends. You know, we talked about that a little bit. He said, I think we're going to have a position open that I think you'd be good at. So I said, well, I'll try anything once. I said, well, tell me about it, which is good and bad by itself, right? You'll try anything once. But he told me a little bit about it. And I did think about it. I was like, I don't know. You know, going back to, you know, a structured office environment, I wasn't sure. But by the time I talked to Pastor Joe, I remember coming in and Pastor Joe's like, look, just think about it. He said, if it doesn't work out, just try it for 3 months. If it doesn't work out, he goes, we're always going to be friends. You know, no big deal.
I bet he didn't mean that really.
I don't think he did either.
He wasn't going to let you go.
I don't think he did either. But by the time I came to talk to him, I was like, no, I said, I don't need to try it out. I said, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's going to be 10 years in February. Here I am. So anyway, I've loved every minute of it too.
She has grown so much. Like, you're really a pastor. And I mean, when she came, you would never have seen yourself doing this, right?
No.
You know? We used to call ourselves Salt and Pepper. We were going to go be a traveling team, you know? The old gals, but we admire you. We are grateful for you. We are glad you accepted the invitation of God. We're better for, you know, having you here, and I just think you're a fantastic example.
I think it all started when I accepted the invitation at the pool at the Crescent, you know, to going to Sapango. And I've often wondered what my life would have looked like had I not done that. It would have been a little bit different. You know, I one thing I've learned early on, I think God uses a language that we understand. He meets us where we're at. And I do think he just doesn't want us to be smart about his word as far as book smart or Bible smart. He wants us to experience it. And the only way we can do that is by saying yes. So I say yes to a lot because I want to experience it. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? Doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, right? It's not going to kill you.
Most of the time. Oh, we love you. All right, Laura, what's an example of hearing God and allowing him to rule in your life?
So we talked a little bit earlier about my sweet Elliot, and she was born very early overseas, and then had, you know, it was like a cluster of mishaps all around her birth. And so we knew from the beginning that there would be challenges, and there have been. But I also, like, the only thing I asked God for, I remember praying with Anna Bullock, the only thing I asked God for was that we'd be able to have a relationship with her. I should have asked for more because he gave us that right off the bat. So she is so full of life, and she is so relational and just adores her dad and I and talks to people as best she can. And so, you know, all the fun is also accompanied by a lot of sickness, a lot of operations, and a lot of hospital stays. And if God wasn't in the midst of all of those things, I mean, if he wasn't in the midst of me running a calendar of nurses, it would not happen because I'm terrible with dates and calendars. But he's in the midst of all of it. And the fact that he's ruling, I know that's what's making it happen, and that he's gone before me, that he's working out all those details. He's with her. We used to say that he was with her in the incubator, and she is precious. She's taught us so much, such a joy. And when it's bad, and it can be, reminds me that one of my favorite verses that's not the most positive, but it's King David, and he says, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And that's where I am. That's where we are with her, because sometimes we feel pretty slain. And but we trust God. We trust God with her life, and he has not let us down. She does more than we ever could have thought. She can speak using her eyes on a computer. And
tell about bringing her back to Trinity.
Oh, when we, she used to not like loud noises. And so I was like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do because she can't go up the stairs. So we brought her back to Trinity. And when we got in the building and the worship's nice and loud, which I love, I was nervous. I look over and she looks at me and goes, wow. And that shows how much, like, she loves something, right, Belle? Wow. Worship and Taylor Swift. She likes Tay-Tay. Anyway, she is just a living example of God can get you through anything. Anything that's going on in your life, anything that's going on in the lives of your friends. If we just trust him and hang on with both hands and don't let go. And have friends so that when your hand's about to fall, someone else can put their hand over and you still just, you hang on because God's good.
You have been a living example to all of us. And I just thank you for your life. And one day I just said, I don't know how you've done it. And she said, well, Nancy, you would have done it too. You would have loved her well and, you know, accepted it. And thank you. That was such a sweet thing that you shared that day, because we admire you. I mean, even when you and Blake took your family to Croatia, I mean, they really just, you know, said yes to God and yes to that invitation. But I mean, it was huge back then. Oh,
Thank you.
Kelly. Thank you. All right, last question, Melena. God's revelation is our invitation to join him in his work. Was there something else that you want to share? Life-changing revelation.
I think the life-changing revelation I had early on, I think it was because of my grandmother's foundation that she set in me, was, you know, I always believed everything. It was a rough start. Let me just back up a little bit, getting to Dallas. I was married very young. That didn't work out. A lot of broken promises. Moved up here, lived out of my trunk at a girlfriend's place. We had a bunch of girls living together, actually. Found a job, you know, and here I am. Loved Dallas the first time I landed here. But it didn't feel like a struggle. It felt like freedom. And there's something there. Even the darkest times, I just always heard this voice telling me that everything that was happening, it was going to be for something good. And I knew it deep in my heart. Little did I know that was a scripture. I didn't know it was Romans 8:28, but I know that now. And I mean, it's still dear to me. It's just brought me through a lot early on, and even now. So I don't know. It's just something that people need to hear, whether you know what it means or not. It's needed, for sure.
All right, let's stand. How about giving these gals a wow. Something that I shared, you can see why I could just spend hours talking, but in John 21, there's a dialogue going on back and forth with Jesus and Peter. Do you love me? Of course I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Jesus, I love you. And he asks him three times, and Peter gets frustrated. And I can identify, and I think there's lots of us in here that can, and how I interpret that right now and today in the invitation of God. Do you love me? You can put your names in there, you know, Kelly, you could go around the room, and Blake, yes, I love you. Well, then feed my sheep. Do what I've called you to do. For some of us, get back in the game. Stay in the game. And I think that it's just been precious to me, because I think it wasn't a question, you know, not necessarily sometimes we don't love the Lord, but I honestly believe that that was in the Bible, that dialogue going on. We need to hear ourselves speak back to the Lord. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Then I need you to do this. I want you to do this. And so let me pray. We're going to stand down here with our prayer team to pray at the end, and we'll let Pastor Derek finish it out. But God, we just thank you for this morning. I just thank you so much for these beautiful lives, God. They're just walking testimonies amongst us, Father. They're our family, Father. And we just thank you for these beautiful daughters that have just walked everything out so beautifully, God, just loving you, loving others, having a deep and a dear relationship with you, saying yes each time you come with an invitation. I speak a beautiful blessing upon our congregation and those watching online. We'll dig into your word. We'll open our ears, open our eyes, be your hands and feet, and say yes not only to that relationship, but each time you come and say, this is what I want you to do. Work alongside me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.
Oh. You ladies, fabulous, wonderful. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to ask our ministry team to go ahead and come forward, our staff. They are here up in the front in just a few moments. You'll have an opportunity to do the same. Looking at the seven realities of God, and Pastor Nancy and the team here that just talked about the invitation. What you saw is Melinda responded to the invitation of God. Laura responded to the invitation of God. This morning, God's giving you an invitation. Maybe some of you to come to Christ for the first time. Maybe others, you've been disconnected from the family of God, and God's inviting you back. Others, there's all types of invitations right now that's happening all across the room. Maybe you connected with Laura's story. You connected with Melinda's story. And really what we're learning and experiencing God is the moment you hear that, maybe you feel it in your heart, the moment that happens, that's God working in your life, And beyond that, it's his invitation for you to make a move, for you to join with him, to be a part of what he's doing. So I want to encourage you to do that. I'm going to pray, close us, and then you come forward and respond to the invitation that the Lord has put on your heart. Father, thank you for this great message today. Thank you for these ladies and their obedience to go through this process and come to the place of obedience and experience. And so, Father, I pray that for the whole congregation today, Lord, that you would bring your people through this process to that place of obedience and experience. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You come. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas. God bless.